name is Emily. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from fear, anger, guilt, and shame. Hi. Please pray with me. Lord, you're amazing at making something good out of our messes. I pray that you would let somebody know your character better today based on what I have to say. In Jesus' name. Also, I cry. So, gentlemen, handle it. So, okay. I think I'll cry twice. I have a friend who thinks I'll cry five times. I think I need new friends. So that's something I'm looking for. Okay, so I grew up the oldest child of three in a home full of substance abuse, some physical abuse, and loads of emotional abuse and neglect. We were really poor. Lots of days I didn't have lunch money, but my parents always had enough money for drugs and alcohol. I was the oldest child, and I quickly became the parent to my parents. I don't remember a lot of my childhood, so I'll just hit the highlights. My mom was under a lot of pressure. She was married to my dad, but he only came home sometimes. So she was basically a single mom of three with no education, and she made minimum wage. She took out her frustration on me in the form of mood swings and emotional neglect. If I didn't anticipate everything she wanted and did it perfectly, then she would withhold affection from me for days. No eye contact, no good night, no God bless you when I sneezed, nothing. She never touched me at all. I didn't feel safe at home. It was infested with roaches and mice. We had a creepy neighbor who would peek in our windows and steal from us. My mom slept really hard, likely from the substance abuse, and I would stay up making plans in my head about how to save my siblings if a fire happened, because it would be up to me. Sometimes people who I didn't know slept in our car or on our couch, or there was an attic you could get in from the outside, and there was people I didn't know sleeping in the attic, so it just wasn't very safe. When I was five, my parents left whiskey out overnight, and in the morning, my little brother, who was four, he woke up and drank it. I tried over and over to wake my mom up, but she wouldn't wake up, and ultimately, I got in trouble when he had to go get his stomach pumped. So everything just ended up my fault. Basically, as a little girl, I felt very unsafe and very out of control. My feelings and my opinions were not allowed, and I was shamed when I showed them. My parents divorced when I was 10, which kind of eased my anxiety because I knew he wasn't going to come home and hurt us, but it also meant visiting him unsupervised for a long time every other weekend, and he had a new wife who very obviously didn't like me at all. So she took every opportunity she could to speak really poorly of my parents and to shame me when nobody was around. So I became very focused on excelling in school because I could control that. I was placed in the gifted program. Even though I'm not gifted, I'm just really driven. And I would discover in recovery that it's because I place my value in my accomplishments. But looking back, I know that it was God and his grace to get me loved on by the woman who was the gifted teacher. She was my encouragement once a week for 4 years in elementary school. She believed in me, and she showed me that I had value. My life was not entirely terrible, though. My mom took us to church every week, and I heard that I was loved and wanted, and that I was forgiven for not being perfect. But the church was not based on the Bible, so I didn't learn a lot of truth, but I am thankful that I was taken somewhere every week to have some encouragement. So in high school, God gave me a friend who was a Christian, and since I was under the impression that I was also a Christian, I was really surprised to find that her choices and my choices weren't the same. She actually read her Bible, which I found fascinating. I didn't know that Christians actually did that. I searched for my Bible, I started reading it, and that's when my life started to change. But it was a really slow process because I had no mentor and I didn't have a solid church home. But God was faithful, and he provided me with spiritual mentors along the way and godly people to show me what a healthy family looked like and things like that. So I carried my control issues and shame with me off to college. It was a Christian college, and I was going to study psychology, so I was going to be fixed in no time. For the first time in my life, though, I couldn't find a boyfriend. I had always had a boyfriend since my first boyfriend in kindergarten named Albert. And as a college graduate, as graduation approached, I was getting really nervous because my perfect plan included marriage right after graduation. But one day, while I was working at a coffee shop, I met a single and gorgeous British boy, and we felt like it was a really good idea to get engaged the next day. I didn't know his last name, and we were already engaged. I really wish that was not real, but it is real. In my defense, though, he was ridiculously good looking, and I think you might have married him too. So you don't know. We quickly married and we moved into a really great town, a beautiful town in England. But within months, I was basically his hostage. No contact with the outside world was allowed unless he was there. He portioned out my food so I didn't get fat, which was thoughtful. He told me that I was wicked, which fit everything I had ever heard from my family, so I bought it. I was allowed to have a job, though, so he didn't have to. But through a series of God-ordained events, I was able to see the danger that I was in, and I was able to escape in the middle of the night. You know, as I was about to go to work, instead of going to work, I just fled the country. And that was actually 14 years ago this Thursday. So that's interesting. Fast forward 3 years. I'm single again. I'm happy to be safe. I was not looking to get married ever again. I did that. Didn't go well. But I met and became friends with a man who, this is where I'm going to cry, who is now my husband. He has consistently modeled for me the love and affection of Christ. I've seen God's character on a daily basis in the last 11 years of marriage, and I'm literally one of the best loved women. We started trying to have kids a year after marriage. And after 6 years of all the medical treatments, we ended up adopting. Interestingly, as the first child we adopted was my stepmom who didn't like me. It was her granddaughter. So it was my stepbrother's daughter. And all the shaming that she laid on me as a child continued as she told me verbally and nonverbally. She made it very clear that she didn't want me to be her mom. It was just the best of a bad option that she had. So I felt very inadequate as a child, and she continued that. And I had no idea how to be a mother instantly of a two-year-old. So it was a really kind of a traumatic transition into parenting. My kids are now 4 and 8, and I super love them. But they are really one of the main reasons I came to Regeneration. I saw that I was acting in ways that were similar to my parents because I had no idea how to deal with other people's emotions other than to shame them into just not having them. You see, having felt unsafe for so long, I'm comfortable when I can control the situation. And if you don't have kids yet, allow me to burst your bubble that they will not be controlled for very long. When my kids wouldn't do what I wanted or anticipate my desires ahead of time, I would become unreasonably angry. I felt out of control most of the time. I had intense anxiety and dread every day before I even got out of bed. I knew that my family walked on eggshells around me, and I remember what that was like as a child, and I didn't want my kids to be in that situation. When things didn't go how I wanted, though, I either got really angry or I isolated. My flesh wanted to drive off into the sunset and never come back, but I knew that the healthier choice would be to come to Regeneration. Most people say the first night they came to Regen, they felt like everybody was weird, and they sat in the back with a hoodie pulled over their head and wished they weren't there. But I felt like I finally had a place where I could be myself. So I'm happy to be here. These are my people. In steps 1 through 3, I realized that God pursues me not because of how well I can do things, but because he actually loves me. I learned that I don't need to rely on myself like I did in the past, but I can fully depend on my Heavenly Father to meet my needs. I began to see that even though I didn't come from the Brady Bunch family, but instead from a Jerry Springer episode, God was with me through it all. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." While all that mess that happened when I was a kid was not my fault, how I live today with my family is my responsibility. Steps 4 through 6 involve inventory, confession, and repentance. Inventory was rough, but in the way that surgery is rough. It can't be avoided for deep healing to happen. But there was definitely some fear and trembling throughout our entire group. It was surprisingly painful to write everything down. I didn't think it would be because I was there the first time. So why should it matter to write it on a paper? But it was hard. Inventory unearthed a lot of feelings, but having a group to process with and ladies to continually point me back to Christ really helped reframe those hurts in a way that had hope. But friends, this is God's promise to us from James 5:6. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So through steps 4 through 6, I started to actually believe what Acts 3:19 says, which is repent and return so your sins can be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come. It was refreshing to tell my inventory to others and to see that what had happened to me was not okay. It was refreshing to be lovingly encouraged, to learn a new way of living and relating to people that was healthy. These lovely ladies knew my whole story, and they still felt like God could use me. Steps 7 through 9, I learned how to, I have to actually follow God, not just say that I follow God. My focus needs to be on him and not on my past hurts. I need to actually depend on him and not just every day, not just frequently. In these steps, I began to trust and obey God enough to work towards forgiving my family and to make amends where appropriate. I learned two main things about forgiveness. It feels really scary when you think it's the same as reconciliation. They're not the same. Forgiving someone doesn't mean you have to let them hurt you again. Number two, God tells us to fix our eyes on him and not on sin. And that means not on our sin. And it also means don't fix your eyes on other people's sin. If we refuse to forgive, we're staring really hard at other people's sin. And that's disobedient. It's just not good for us. So in steps 10 through 12, I focused on building intimacy with Christ once I better understood who he was and how much he loves me. He's not too busy for me like my parents were. He's not just simply tolerating my presence. He's not watching me closely hoping I'll mess up. He is engaged, present, enjoying my company. He's ready and he's able to restore me. He's pleased with my efforts, and he's just as pleased when I have nothing left. He's glad when I do well, but he's also glad when I run to his arms for comfort when I'm really not doing well. In Isaiah 61:4, it says, God and his people will build up ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations. He's been faithful to do this in my life, and he will be in yours as well. Today, I actually experience God's love instead of just willing myself to believe it because I should or because I think it'll lower my anxiety. Jesus went from being a felt cutout on a flannel board in Sunday school to an actual living Savior who loves me and meets me in my joys and my sorrows. My relationship with my husband has always been good, but that's mainly because he's like a super nice guy. My part of the marriage, though, is improving, and as I've let down the defenses that I needed for years against unsafe people. Turns out he's a pretty great guy, and I can trust him. Unscrambling the healthy patterns of relating that I learned as a child, though, helped me to relate to my husband without all the interference and confusion. Things are calmer in my mind, which lowers my stress and allows me to respond kindly and not react in anger. I am now a model wife, and he is supremely blessed. I like having the microphone when he doesn't. My relationship with my daughter is stronger. As I begin to walk out from under shame, I realize that she is my child and God built our family. I no longer look at her as if I'm watching someone else's kid. My dad's wife didn't want me to raise her, but God did, and he wins. If you have small kids and you're having a difficult time justifying being here for you, please keep coming for them. You're the biggest thing they have going on. How sad, huh? Sometimes when you think of it, but we are so important to them, and we need to fight to be healthy for them, okay? These days, I'm depending on Christ as my protector and my defender, which is helping me remain calm in conflict. Realizing that I don't need to strive for perfection to earn his love has allowed me to let my kids enjoy being fully their quirky, weird selves. There are still moments when I get wound up pretty tight, but they are less frequent, and I get over it a lot quicker. I'm happy to report that there are lots of feelings at our house. A lot of talking and a lot of apologies from everybody. My life certainly is not perfect, but as I learned from Regen, perfection's not the goal. Something I've taken on as a result of recovery is a podcast ministry specifically for moms because I know how hard it is. Because of recovery, I'm willing to talk about hard things. And because I know God's character, I can't wait to tell other moms how much he loves them. I'm not perfect or fixed. I still struggle, but the struggle looks different. I don't isolate near as much, and I don't isolate for as long. I bring issues to my husband and my community and to God. I am currently walking through a painful time, actually, with the extended family that I mentioned, because it's the most wonderful time of the year, isn't it, friends? It's still hard, though, and the enemy wants to make me think that I haven't made any progress, but then others that God has placed in my life remind me that I have made progress, and they walk with me through this pain. Going through recovery does not mean you will be without pain or struggle. You just know what to do with it. If I could tell you one thing, it's that when you're at your worst, God isn't standing over you shaking his head in disapproval. He doesn't need you to do anything. He's already done it all when he died for your sins on the cross. When you're covered in mud and flat on your face and you have nothing left to give, he's with you in your pain, lifting your head and speaking life over you. God is for you. He's pretty crazy about you. And he knows exactly how to restore you and speak to you because he made you. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.